Okay, so the last sugya that we had left, really, between the Mishnayot was Korach. So, as you can see, I gave you not that many sources and a lot more questions to think about. I'm going to try to limit myself to some basic sources, but it is really, it's complicated. It's complicated. And I said, if you want Rabbeinu David, I'll send it to you as a PDF, but let's start with reading the Gemara very, very carefully. So, Amar Ravina, Amar Li Rav Misharash Yabarej Rav Natan. So Ravina says, Hachi Amar Hillel Mishmei Di Gemara. This is a different Hillel, right? Don't. So here I'm going to make a brief point, which maybe we'll come back to. What does nichroch mean? So nichroch is to wrap. So what wraps what? What? So some people try to prove from this. So some people try to prove from this that matzah is soft matzah because you wrap. That is, while it is probably true that matzah was soft, and we can prove that with a million other places, this is actually not a proof at all. It is a bad proof for two reasons. One is that nechroch might mean to wrap, but it could also be something more like sandwich, right? But more importantly is, even if matzah is hard, does that prove that you can't wrap?
No.
No, why?
Like,
oh God, you're not creative enough. No, you could wrap the maror around the matzah.
Right,
oh. Right? And that's not my chiddush, right? That's Rabbeinu Hananel. So if you look all the way at the bottom, right where I say soft matzah, I said, we'll return to this later, but in the meantime, just to make one point, so the Aruch HaShulchan, first of all, thinks that the word korech means not wrap, it's a sandwich, right? So that's the first negation of the proof from this Gemara that it's necessarily soft. So you take the third matzah to fulfill the mitzvah, and you put the maror bein matzah, v'korchan yachdav. So, right, so it's clear that he thinks the word korech doesn't just mean wrap, it could mean to sandwich. So that's the case, it doesn't prove that it is soft. Again, now you know what soft matzah looks like. Now again, once you determine that soft matzah is what they had, then it could very well be that you are in fact making alafa. It's just that you can't prove it from this line because A, korech might be the sandwich, and the other is that if you think about it like sushi can either have the rice on the outside or the rice on the inside, right? You have the two different types of sushi. You have the classic sushi with the seaweed on the outside, and then you have the, okay, but Rabbeinu Hananel, who's among the earliest commentaries we have on the Gemara, period, look at number 10. Sheya koreich hamaror al hamatzah. You could have also looked at it in the Gemara, but I gave you the key lines just so you wouldn't miss it. That he says that koreich means that you wrapped the maror around the matzah. Right, so therefore, I just gave you these two lines. Not necessarily, it could also mean we, right? Nun is also we future, which is probably what it means here. So, and if you look just here, this article by Rabbi Zari Zivotofsky and Rabbi Zari Zivotofsky and Greenspan, right? They're both rabbis, they're both Aris. Less source here. In their article, which we can return to, called The Thick and Thin of the History of Matzah, they write that while the root korech is often used to mean wrap, it can also have the meaning of surround. For example, a walled city is called a krach because it is surrounded by a wall, and the hard binding surrounding a book is called a kricha. Thus, korech could involve surrounding the maror with hard matzah, much as the city is surrounded by a hard wall. The Haggadah II Korech offers no proof one way or the other as to the kind of matzah used, right? So even if you become convinced from other sugyot that matzah is soft, the proof that people run into is itself not actually a proof. It may be the case that according to many Rishonim, you would have had a soft matzah sandwich, lots of times, right? Because you can't prove it one way or the other,
from the sugya.
From the sugya. Correct, and it's always important to note what you can prove and what you can't prove, right? You can't, you shouldn't overstate what the evidence says. Okay, that is a parenthetical comment. Again, that's more about soft matzah, but I wanted to just make that point briefly. So now, returning to the Gemara says, "Lo nichrech inish matzah umaror v'hadeh hadadi v'neichol." You cannot wrap matzah and maror and eat them. Mishum disfira lo matzah bizman hazeh de'oraita, because he thinks that matzah nowadays is biblical. Umaror derabanan and maror is rabbinic. Va'ati maror derabanan umevatelei limatzah de'oraita. So maror, which is rabbinic, will come and nullify matzah, which is biblical. Vafilu leman diamar. I'm going to read through it once, and then we'll come back and ask all the questions. Vafilu leman diamar mitzvot ein mevatlo do. And even if you think mitzvot do not nullify each other, hani mili deoraita b'deoraita u derabanan b'derabanan. That's biblical with biblical, rabbinic with rabbinic. Aval te'oraita derabanan, but when a biblical and a rabbinic object of a mitzvah come together, ati derabanan, amavata leila de'oraita. The rabbinic comes and nullifies the biblical. Man tana dishematle mitzvah de mevatla du'etzu. And who holds that mitzvot do not nullify each other? Hillel. It's Hillel, the Tanya, Amr Laval Hillel, Sheh Korchan Bevadachat, because they would say about Hillel that he would sandwich, wrap, whatever, V'ochlan, and eat them, Shneemar, Amatot, Umirorim, Yochluhu. And Amr of Yochanan, Yochanan, Cholker Alav Chavei Rav Al Hillel. And his friends argue with him, the Tanya, because the Brayta says, Yochl, Yeh Korchan Bevadachat, you might think that you wrap. I'm going to be very vague here. At once, the Ochlan, Kedarach Shehillel Ochlan, the way Hillel ate them, Talmud Lomar, Amatot, Morim, Yochlu, on Matot Mor, you shall eat it, Afilu Zeb Bifnei Asmo, Zeb Bifnei Asmo, you shall eat it each individually. Matib La Ravashi, Ravashi says, really, Yachi, my Afilu, then what is Afilu? So Elam Ravashi, Aitan Achtena, Yachol, O Yeshebe, Dechovato. I might think you don't fulfill your obligation, unless you eat it the way Hillel did. Talmud Lomar al Matar Mro Rim Yochluhu, Afilu Zeb Bifnei Atzmo, Zeb Bifnei Atzmo, and a Hashta de Loed Mar Hilchata Loki Hillel Loki Rabbanan. And now that the halacha has not been said conclusively in favor of either Hillel or the rabbis, Mivarech al achilat matzah v'ochil. So you make the bracha on matzah and you eat. V'hadar mivarech al achilat marer v'ochil. And then you make the bracha on marer and eat. V'hadar achil matzah uchasa v'hadeh adadi bilo bracha zecher le'mikdash ki hilel. And then you have the matzah. Interestingly, the Gemara says not with marer but with matzah. Right, it uses the non-halachic term, but the physical term. Right, matzah with chasa, with the lettuce, which is a maror, together, zecher lemikdash ke hilo. Okay, that is the Gemara. And as I gave you here, there are, what did I give you? 10 questions. 10, look at that. 10 questions that you should have at least on this sugya. So, the first question I asked you is, are there two or three shitot in the Gemara? Now, what shitot do I know exist in the Gemara? A shita that I cannot eat them together. How do I know that there is such a shita? Because the Gemara says you can do it because mitzvot mevatlo do it too. Then I have Hillel's position that either I must or at least should eat it together. Right? Wrapped together.
Right.
Now, within Hillel, it's not 100% clear whether he thinks I can, I should, or I must. But what is what's the ambiguous question? Ambiguous question. Then show me where in the sugya the ambiguity comes from. Very good. If I put it slightly sharper, it goes like this. The Gemara says, right? Interestingly, the Gemara starts the backwards of the way most people might think that this Gemara should start. I think if I ask most people, they've never learned the sugya, and I ask you, how do you think the sugya of Korach starts? They would have said, There is a machloket, Hillel Nechachamim, whether the proper way to eat matzah and maror and maybe karban pesach
or separate or together.
That's not and if that was the case, then things would be very clear. However, the Gemara gets to Hillel backwards. How does it get to it? It starts with the position who says, you cannot, not you shouldn't, you cannot. Because if you do, the maror will nullify your fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. And Hillel disagrees with that. What's the problem? That Hillel is an overstatement. Right? Meaning, if I want to, or not even that. If I say that, the Gemara frames the question as, who doesn't hold that mitzvot are mevatel zuet zu? Answer, Hillel. That's not really true. Because, according to Hillel, of course mitzvot aren't mevatel, of course matzah and maror aren't mevatel each other. Why? Because the mitzvah to eat it in this way. Does that have anything to do with whether mitzvot are mevatel each other? No, it's because he thinks that you're how you're supposed to do it.
Right.
No one says that the arba minim on Sukkot nullify each other because that's a mitzvah. So there's a missing middle position, which is
that that you can eat them together because they're not
that you can. Meaning, really, what the Gemara should have said is who disagrees with mitzvah mevatel do it do. A position who doesn't hold like Hillel that you have to eat them together,
but
that you can eat them together if you want, and that would simply be a machloket of mevatel do it do.
Yeah.
So the question in the that the Rishonim want to know is, is there such a position, in fact, introduced in the Gemara? And if I want to introduce the middle position, where would I plug in that middle position? Who would be the author of said position? What does it hang on? One word. Very good. Is afilu. Is that we have the position that says you might have to eat it together. Talmud lomar yoklu. Afilu zebif ne'atmo v'zebif ne'atmo. Now what does even mean? Even you could eat it. You could even
you
eat it
not have
separately, but you could eat it together. So that now that position might mean that you can, but you don't have to, which would disagree with Hillel, presumably, that you must that the mitzvah to eat them together, but would reject the first position, which is how we got into the sugya of a mitzvah mevatlo zuetzu. No. This is the problem. Don't say you can't. It's the position that the Gemara is trying to explain is not simple shot in the Gemara. The chiyuv to eat matzah and maror separately is a more expansive rule of mitzvah mevatlo zuetzu, which expresses itself here. So if you hold that you don't have to eat matzah and maror together, but you can, then you would justify that position simply by disagreeing with the principle of mitzvot mevatlo do it do. So that would be where you would find a middle position. Okay? This is a machloket. Whether there are in fact two or three positions in Gemara is a machloket. Rashbam and Tosvot. And if you want, and as they put in brackets here, if you wanted to torture yourself, not torture. If you wanted to read sources that say this, but they're much more difficult to read, which you might interpret it as torture, you could also see that the same machloket appears in the Balamor and the Milchamot. But we'll see that inside in a minute. Okay? But I want to run through the questions and only then plug them in. Right, so the first question we have is, noting that the Gemara doesn't start from where we think it should start, which is there a mitzvah to eat matzah and maror together or separately? But rather it starts from the opposite extreme, which is mevatel zu, and then like Hillel becomes a nafkamina, is could you have a middle position who does it, because the Gemara didn't introduce Hillel as the proper way to eat matzah and maror, but as you see from the way he thinks you should eat matzah and maror, that he doesn't hold mitzvah mevatel zu, which is not even obvious. Right? We have to answer that question also, which is, what are you talking about? Maybe the reason that Hillel says you eat it is not because ein mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu, but because that is the mitzvah. So that forces you to ask the third question. Also forces you to ask, what is this bittul? Right? To figure out whether Hillel in fact hangs on mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu or not mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu, then you have to understand what does
bittul mean, because it hinges on the good. What does within matz and mar.
Very good. You got to figure out what does bittul.
Mar is about taste, presumably.
Oh, okay. Wait. So the question is, what does bittul mean? So Mordechai already says, what does bittul mean? So he says it might mean taste.
But
is that what the words mean?
No.
No, you might be right anyways, and several Rishonim are going to take your position that it means...
Because it feels obvious.
Because it feels, correct, because it feels obvious in the sugya that bittul of taste is relevant because we've already learned the sugyas of Maror and therefore know that taste is an important thing in the sugya, and therefore we're already primed to think about it, right? But we don't know about matzah, which is the thing being bustled. Anyways, and what's the problem? Good. What's the problem with saying it's about taste? Is that if it was about taste, what part of this Gemara doesn't make sense? The part. So first of all, that it uses the language of mitzvot, and the second is, if it's about taste, then does it matter what the mitzvot in or Jerubon or Zoraita? Mazda. Right? The Gemara says that by Doraita and Doraita it's not, but Doraita and Rabbanan, everyone knows it is. So does Doraita Maror taste different? It's the same Hefta.
It has more of a halachic
taste. It's a halachic taste. Oh, now that's Lundish. It's a halachic taste. It's like, what is halachic taste? Whoa. You don't make fun of Kobe. Several Rishonim say exactly that it is taste. But we need to understand if it's taste, then what is the words in the... See, you've scared him off, right? Okay, so that question, what I had here, A and D. I already dealt with C, which is the question, even within Hillel, because we're missing the middle, we don't actually know whether Hillel thought you must eat matzah and maror together, or you can / should. Probably not can. Can probably is too weak. But does Hillel hold you must or should? Now, if he holds should or can again is too weak, then we can sort of understand why Hillel is relevant to mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu. But if Hillel holds you must, then it's sort of hard to understand why Hillel hangs in any way on mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu. The reason he thinks they're not mevatlot each other is because the chefta shel mitzvah is the sandwich thing. That is the chefta shel mitzvah. You can't say that the mitzvah are mevatlot each other if the union is the chefta shel mitzvah. It's like saying, oh, you're not, you say tefillin, because the scrolls are mevatel the batin. What are you talking about? Chesed shel tefillin is the batin plus the scrolls plus the scraps plus the, you know, like, plus the gidin plus the whatever. So what are you going to do, mevatel, right? So you have to ask within Hillel, does Hillel hold that you're required or that you should be koreh the things here together, and how is that going to affect the way we think about the line of mitzvot mevatlot zu et zu? So that's questions A, C, and D. Question B is, whatever is true in the time of the mikdash, the Gemara makes a further problem, right? So we had one missing middle, which was between you can't and you must / should, right? That's one missing middle. There's another missing middle, and that is, nowadays, you can't have matzah and maror together, and the opposite of that is that Hillel, in the time of the Mikdash, would eat them together. But how do you know that the Chachamim didn't agree to Hillel in the time of the Mikdash, and how do you know that Hillel doesn't agree to you? Not Bisman HaMikdash. There's Well, all we've said is that matzah and maror, the chachamim hold, you can't eat them together nowadays because mitzvah and matzah do because they're not both d'oraita. And in the time of the mikdash, Hillel thought you ate them together when presumably they were both d'oraita. So there's a lot of missing things in the middle, which is, what does Hillel hold bizman hazeh? How do you know that Hillel would be okay with korech nowadays? And how do you know that chachamim were not okay with korech?
In the time of the
mikdash. Right, there's a lot of missing middles here. The Gemara is just pulling a fast one on you. It's like, aha, here's the binary. Mitzvah mevatel do it do nowadays, or you should eat them together in the time of the mikdash. And then you're like, okay, is there the possibility that I can, but I don't have to? Is there the possibility that this was different time of mikdash nowadays? The Gemara, as if this doesn't exist, the Gemara, it's a very weird Gemara. Right, when you read it, again, I've told you in the past, you should be scared. The less sources I give you, the more scared you should be. And when you see a source sheet like this, that is almost half questions, and only one-sided with Makaros, you should be terrified, right? Because you will... Probably did. It's really bad. What? Sure, but like, the way the Gemara presents it is... fine, but how does the Gemara know that Mitzvot Mevatlat Du Bizman HaZeh is the opposite of Hillel Bizman HaMikdash? How do you know what Hillel would hold not Bizman HaMikdash? How do you know what the Chum would hold Bizman HaMikdash? You didn't talk about it, so there's a missing middle. So that's questions A, B, C, D.
Okay.
E is just Caesar Rambam. Okay, that's not a question.
I mean, it could be.
Very good. But specifically, I gave you the Rambam, and this is something we saw, but I want to remind you of it, which is, there's another ambiguity in the sugya, which is, what is the direct object of the yoklu hu? So, what are the potential, or I'll put it very simply, what is Hillel sandwich composed of? Well, do you know that? If you followed this sugya and you only read this sugya and you didn't know anything but this sugya, including you didn't know Chumash, very good. You would come to the conclusion that the entire sugya here is about whether you can have the matzah and the maror together, and therefore, if Hillel is presented as the opposite of the position that nowadays you can't have matzah and maror together because they're mevatel each other, and Hillel holds the opposite because he holds you can eat them together, then the direct objects would be matzah and maror, and that's it. Because that's all it says. What would you... Well, it's what we do. It's the opposite of a keto sandwich. Okay? No meat. It's just bread, matzah, and your vegetable, your symbolic vegetable. What? Good. It's whole grain, soft spelt matzah with organic romaine lettuce. Great. Very healthy for you. I'm sure you can.
Oh my god, I can't wait to blow my whole wallet on Whole Foods.
Yes, no, it does. When you put it that way, it sounds like something that you would sell at Whole Foods. It's like, and korech and haroset ice cream. Yes. Get Ben and Jerry's Korech ice cream, Korech ice cream, and it's great. No, Ben and Jerry's made it for you. No, they did make it. It's not theoretical. I don't know. I hope they do. It's so good. No, it's very simple. It was a vanilla base with apple, cinnamon, and walnuts. What do you mean? That's like apple. That's like vanilla ice cream on apple. You know, an apple pie or apple cobbler or whatever. That's great. Or apple crumble is basically what it is. It was great. No, it was a great flavor. But that actually makes sense. I mean, not if you hold everything in our Gemara. Like, you could have the haroset ice cream. Haroset ice cream, according to the Mordecai, we put in clay. There is clay. We put actual unground sticks of cinnamon. Right? Yeah, no, Konami. You need it to be nish like that. Okay. Okay, first of all, dates I don't think would be bad. You add that apple, cinnamon, dates. Okay, at some point it'd be like, yes, The
okay, this, again, the point was to throw
okay,
everything.
Okay, again, to be fair, that Tosfot's version of Haroset sounds like a Ben and Jerry's flavor, right? Like they have that flavor, it's called everything but ellipsis. They have a framing, everything but the dot, dot, dot. And they literally just throw in like every random thing that you can think of. I could probably Google it and it'd be like whatever it is. So that would be Tosfot Charoset, is find all things that symbolize the Jews in Kol HaTerekula and just, in all of Tanakh, and throw it in. Apples, grapes, almonds, dates. Right, and then like the random sheet out. Put in chestnuts. Why? No idea. Right? It's like chillin. Just throw in whatever you have. You know.
Barley.
And not on Pesach. No, no. Please, please, please. Careful, careful. No, no, no. Okay. So if you wanted to say that that which you are eating together is a matzah maror sandwich, where would you get such support? From our sugya, the fact that it conspicuously right, just doesn't focus on karban Pesach kimat at all. Even in the time of the Mikdash, the truth is that the Gemara is ambiguous because it says kor chan, he wraps them. What's them? So if you just had our sugya and you never read the Torah, then you would have said matzah and maror. That's the only thing we mentioned. If you read the Torah, a suffix might arise in your mind, which is, what about that thing Karban Pesach? Wait, didn't we say on Daf Kof Chaf that without the Karban Pesach, maror isn't even the oraita because it is so contingent on the Pesach, isn't that part of it? And you know what? That would be reasonable. And as we saw, which major Rishon rejects that reasonable possibility? The Rambam. The Rambam says, no, it really means what it says, that you're only ever talking about, even in the time of the Mikdash, you're talking about Maror and Kore, and Maror and Matzah. You're not talking about the Karban Pesach.
Okay.
Okay. Good, so that's E, we're going to see that again. I just want to lay out all the issues, and then we'll slowly answer these questions. Maybe we'll do this in one day, maybe in two, I don't know. I just, in F, I said remember the issues of Charoset. I just remember that we saw a further machloket, whether Korech, both Bizman HaZeh and Bizman HaMikdash, should have be dipped in Charoset. Then I want you to think about the Zecher L'Mikdash here. Because we have different types of Zecher L'Mikdash in Torah. What types of Zecher L'Mikdash do we have? Name different things we have that we do Zecher L'Mikdash. Good. So what type of thing is that? Okay, so what type of Zecher is it? If you translate it into English, how would you translate that Zecher? What is it? In what way is it acting as a commemoration?
We're doing something similar.
Are we? No. Be careful. Are we doing something similar?
We're trying to perfect.
No, we're not. Come on. No, you're not. Zroa? No, what are you doing? You're doing, are you trying to mimic
no,
it?
Oh, we're doing a placeholder.
Yeah, you're doing a symbolic act that reminds you.
Okay.
Right, that's different. Right, that's one type of zecher. I do something symbolically to invoke the memory of something else.
As opposed to...
Very good. Is that the type of zecher we're talking about here?
No.
What are we doing? Correct. We are doing that which we did in the Mikdash, even though it doesn't have the same halachic impact, effect, status, level, whatever, as it is in the Mikdash. That's a different type of zecher. But once you recognize it's a different type of zecher, what do you then need to ask? Does that impact its halachot? Right? Because now you need to figure out, well, what is it? Is it merely a zecher like the Zroa? Or is it the fact that it's manifest by mimicking that which I would have done in the Mikdash? Does that
mean that we have to take
does
this
it more seriously, less it, right? Right. What does it do? Well, that's what you need to figure out, is what type of zechalamik does. Is it? Now we have other ones. So for example, you could potentially talk about leaving the Amma Bayanaba of unpainted wall of opposite your door as a type of zecher mikdash, right? Zecher korban, but that's yet a different type of a zecher. And that, I'm mourning, so I remember what I don't have. Right? That's a very different, it's I actively create something that reminds me of the mikdash. That's a different type of zecher. These are all different types of zecher, so we need to figure out which type of zecher we're talking about when it comes to Korah. What exactly is the nature of the zecher? Good. We also need to think about hefsek. And by hefsek, I mean that, according to Hillel, possibly, we said this is not clear. But let's assume that according to Hillel, you must be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah and maror together. Let's say that that's what Hillel holds. What problems does that create in our seder? Correct. Is that you said, the Gemara said, you say the bracha, al chilat matzah, eat the matzah, al chilat maror, and eat the maror, and then you either eat the karech, or possibly verbalize zecher l'mikdash to Hillel, and then eat the karech. What's the problem? Is that if eating the matzah and maror together is trying to be yosei the shita of Hillel, you've now have a bracha levatala, because I've separated the fulfillment of the mitzvah and matzah maror from the bracha on the matzah and maror, and kal vachomer, if I actually verbalize the word zecher l'mikdash kehillel, like we do before we, I assume most of you do, right? Does anyone not say the word zecher l'mikdash kehillel before you have the karech? Anyone not? That's what I thought. There are major sheet though to say you shouldn't.
I popped in like Maxwell has.
Have I said it?
Okay. You'll see. You'll see. No, I'm not saying it's wrong, but you'll see that this creates halakhic problems. And then I just at the end here said that, you know, if we have time at the end, we'll maybe talk a few minutes on the machshava level. Because korech is everybody's favorite machshavic thing to talk about, because the matzah represents one thing, the maror represents another, I synthesize it, what does that tell me? Just realize that there are a whole lot of good vorts. That was basically why I gave you Jay, which was, think about the fact that there's a lot of good vorts you could come up with at your seder on Korech, because Korech is, you know, lends itself to beautiful symbolism about the complexity of Seder night. Not surprisingly, Rav Kook is obsessed with the idea.
Oh, okay.
Not surprisingly, that Rav Kook is like, aha, we'll get to, I'll read it to you when you get there, but Rav Kook obviously can be like, oh, the matzah represents one thing, the maror. So another, you know, he's very into his, you know, thesis, antithesis, synthesis stuff, his Hegelian thought. So Korech is like the metaphysical halakhic instantiation of Hegelian dialectic, you know.
Wow. That is a way to take it.
Good. So we'll get. Okay. He's a Tana. Correct. That's the other Shita. Correct. Maybe. Unless you think that Hillel thinks that you can. Pashkos, yeah.
It just seems weird. You're not really being trying to be able to either shield or leaving out. You're just both.
Yes. Well, that's what we're going to try to figure out. Okay, so those are all the problems that we need to deal with in Korach. Yalla. So now let's try to take them step by step. So the first question I asked you is, are there two or three shitot in the sugya? So let's look. Let's read the Rashbam very carefully, and you'll tell me what he thinks. So Rashbam says, Afilu liman diomar. Sorry, matzah bismanazeh d'oraita. Umaror d'rabbanan. So first the Rashbam says, how do I know How do I know that matzah nowadays is biblical and matzah and maror is not? Says in Daf Kuf Chav. Very good. Very good. Good. Next one. Afil man the amah. Decheva dechi hadadein in who? Since they are equivalents, meaning they used to be biblical, kulu kiyum mitzvah ninu, they're all the fulfillment of mitzvot, v'lo mivatle ahadade, and they do not nullify each other. Okay. So far, anything surprising? No. No. What?
All of them are fulfilling mitzvahs?
Yeah.
So what is it? Is it one thing or is it
both? Oh, you don't know. But they're both d'oraita. And therefore they don't nullify each other. So far surprising?
No.
Not surprising. U'mevaseh and nullifies it? L'ta'am matzah d'oraita. So Rashbam, just to drive you completely crazy, gives you three words that should maybe be mishageah, and that is, what does bittul mean?
The taste of matzah.
The taste of matzah. Now this is a problem for so many reasons. One is the d'oraita taste of matzah. Now this is problematic. Let's just list why this is problematic. First of all, it's problematic because have proof so far in the sugya that maror needs tam. Has anyone ever heard that matzah needs tam?
Well, I've heard that matzah needs achila.
Oh, very good. Matzah needs achila. Does matzah need tam?
I've never heard that.
I've never heard of such a thing. Never heard it. No, heard of the thing. Second of all, what does it mean that it has a tam d'oraita? A tam matzah d'oraita.
It's a halachic d'oraita.
Right, I mean, like, what does he say? Now, I understand. He'll say it's the matzah, which is d'oraita. Fine, but okay. So, if you think it's about ta'am, then why does that not work when it's d'oraita? So if the maror and the matzah are both d'oraita, then the ta'am is not batel. Oh, I'm sorry, what are you talking about? Right? No, but this reminds me, I've told you this before, this reminds me of the Brisker joke. There's an old Brisker joke, right, that someone took hot water from a kettle and put it into a cup and then it spilled on his hand. He said, ouch. And the Brisker said, quite fair! Cliche-ny isn't mavachel! Right, like, what are you talking about? Right, like, that job are you, right? Like, does that really work? Right, so, what is it? Oh, it's right on the motor. So, very good. So, presumably the Rashbam was not a Brisker and did not think that things tasted b'chalois differently when they're d'oraita. I mean, maybe he did, I don't know. I can't promise. One second, so what might Rashbam mean? Anyone want to hazard a guess at what the Rashbam could possibly mean?
I think my question might be an answer for what
the Rashbam. Oh, you're going to answer my question with a question that's going to be an answer. Oh, oh, you're very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he calls it.
So maybe the top is the point of the.
Very good, very good. So it could be that we're mechadish here that, you learn from both of them that the mitzvah is really the ta'am. Wow. Very good. That might be true. Why would maror not be able to be mevatel matzah?
Because you're doing them at the same time.
Sharper. Sharpen it. Oh, very good. So Ajahn says the only way you're possibly going to get there is if you think that it's not just they're both the oraita, but that when they're both d'oraita, you're actually supposed to eat them together, which means that the taste that you should have halachically
is
the synthesized taste. That would help you, but that would help you according to who? The problem is that would help you if you think you should or must eat them together. Is it easy to say that if you think you don't have to?
No, absolutely not.
Much harder. But you can, correct.
Well,
but you can. Very good. So Ezan says you can. How could you?
Is there like a lingering?
It's just that like when there are the teeth becomes just monster requirement.
Right, meaning you'd have to come up with something clever and say that even if I don't actually eat at the same time, when they're at the same level. Correct. So here I'm going to throw out an idea from the Rav. The Rav uses to solve some of these problems. I opted not to give it to you inside, but I want to keep, you want to keep this in mind. The Rav said, okay, when you talk about Hillel versus the Chachamim, one way of viewing it, which is I think the simple way of understanding it, is that Hillel thinks you're supposed to eat it as one chefta, right? And the Chachamim, and Bitseiruf, and the Chachamim say, you either can't or don't need to, right? There's another possibility, and that is that their machloket is more nuanced. And that is, everyone agrees that the matzah and maror are linked enough. It's not that they're arguing, is matzah independent from maror completely? They both agree that matzah and maror are linked. The question is, in order for them to be linked, do they actually have to be eaten together? Or, right, so for example, one way that foods, I'll give you an example, okay? If you go to, you know, if they want to give you a full tasting experience at a restaurant, so let's say you buy their classic burger, okay? They might tell you, oh, to get the experience, you need to have our burger with our homemade bun and our special sauce and our, you know, carefully grilled whatever and our homegrown tomatoes and whatever. That type of synthesized experience is the way we think of Hillel, right? That I eat it together. Right? But what if I task you with creating the perfect three-course meal? Or I task you with coming up with a dish and an appropriate side dish or an appropriate palate cleanser before. Or I ask you to, as part of your test as becoming a chef, which wine should you pair with a burger? Now, if I ask you, well, so 1 second. Then, are you eating them, on the one hand, are they separate foods? Yes. Are they completely separate? No. The eating experience is predicated on them eating, on eating them
together.
Not necessarily together the way you eat the burger as a sandwich, but they're also not completely distinct. And that's why you don't say, what wine are you having at the meal? When you're picking the wine specifically because it goes with it, and you say, which wine would you pair this with? Just listen to your language. What I pair it with, what you're recognizing, is despite the fact that you're not pouring your wine on your burger, you recognize that dried red wine is traditionally the proper type of wine to have with meat, especially savory meat. And white wines are proper if you're having cheese, right? And you're having like lasagnas, don't you know that? And fish, right? Haven't you ever read the back of a wine? This, the hint of cotton candy and coconut and, you know, and the scent of youthful joy pairs perfectly with aged cheese of, you know, exactly.
I love that.
Right?
Of Southwest Africa.
Right, and like you all know that. You look at the back of the wine and you're like, so this is made of grapes. And then on the back it's like, no, it is made of grapes. But there is a hint of chocolate and blackcurrant and raspberry and the aromatic blah, blah, blah from the valley of God knows what pairs with your, and you're like, I don't know what you're talking about, but, exactly, but if I ask you, is the wine a part of the eating experience?
Yeah,
that's the whole point. So the Rav argues that the machloket Hillel and the Chachamim isn't our matzah and maror synthesized or completely separate. If everything is they're connected, the question is, are they connected even bizarre zeh, that they're essentially like a pairing, or are they like, right, a sandwich? But both, now if that's the case, then Eitan's suggestion makes a lot of sense, which is even if you're not eating them together, if Ki'ilu, God said, I would like you to pair these two foods together, then even though you're not supposed to eat them together, their taste is not going to be mevatel each other. Because obviously, if you're supposed to eat them as a sandwich, and God told you it is a sandwich, you're not going to say that they're mevatel the taste. The taste you're supposed to have is the synthesized one. But if that's the case, you would say, but according to Chum, that makes no sense. But that's only if you think that the Chum think they are two separate foods. But if you think it's, no, they're separate because God wanted you to pair them but not combine them, then still, and maybe here the better example, wine is a good example because you're pairing it for the taste, or a palate cleanser is a good example. Side dish, maybe not, but you know what a palate cleanser is? You're like, correct, but it's the right anti-taste. I don't know, okay? Don't be diet too much. Find the wine pairing. Yella, wine pairing. Fine? Meaning the point is, you'll tell me, but, because if they tell you, well, I don't understand, how are you enjoying the burger? You have a taste of Merlot or Cabernet Sauvignon a perfect mix, a Shiraz, or whatever, a 30% Shiraz, 30% Merlot, 40% Cabernet, I don't know, right? Ravada. What are you, a barbarian? You've never seen mixes? A lot of fancy wines are mixed of different grapes. They mix the different grapes to create the perfect blend. Yeah, you've never had good blends? Good blends are good. I've had in my life very good Cabernet Merlot blends, Cabernet Shiraz, Cabernet Franc. Can all get all sorts of interesting. Yeah, Marty's like, what? I just thought you take a grape, you squeeze it in, leave it for a few months, and you got wine. Yeah. That is not wine. That is, I don't know what that is. But my point is that if you understand like this, that even though the Chachamim don't know like they have to be eaten together, you could still explain why, according to Rashbam, when they're both d'oraita, the tastes aren't going to interfere. Because if God said you should pair these, then he wants there to be lingering taste that mix together. Even though they're not supposed to be in together, they're still supposed to pair. I'm not saying what I just said is not a kiddush. I'm just saying you sort of have to come onto something like that if you want to defend the Rashbam. Right? Because you need to defend the Rashbam. The Rashbam says the bissel we're talking about is taste. And yet he says that question is affected by whether it's a right or a derabanan. And last I checked, things that are biblically obligatory don't have different tastes just because they have a different halos. It doesn't work that way. Not in my world. Maybe if I'm not frisker enough. It could be that if I was a full throat, like if I was a mamish, like if I was brisker enough, then I would be able to taste it. I'd ask. It's like, people who like, there's a fancy word for it, which I was... slips my mind. No. That people who like see numbers in certain colors, or they hear numbers, or they what? There you go. That's the word, right? That certain people, the way their brain works is that that different senses are synthesized in their brain, right? So maybe there is a version of that lumdishly. Correct. That his essence is so in tune that. That d'oraita's taste like cotton candy, and the rabbanon taste like ice cream. Yecholiot, I don't know. Yeah, no, obviously it's not. It could be that this is halachic. What is it? Synesthesia. Yeah, halachic.
Smell whether or not
correct. Correct. They could smell proper shchita. They could. They look at it. Right? It's like a.
Accent,
Look, anything is possible. I'll be honest, anything is possible. I have no idea. I was talking to Regensburg last week about an excellent book that I read. I don't know how many books there are on the topic, but he had the same book on quantum biology, right? On the newer research on how things, and smell is one of them, might only make sense if you think that it's actually a quantum. It's actually quantum, right? That smell is caused by what? That it's caused by different features of the quantum world, and that's why. We invented halachic synesthesia. That while it's possible, the reason they taste differently is because the way some people like hear sights and see smells and stuff like that. So maybe good briskers will taste the rightness in it.
Okay.
Right. So then from there we got on to when did you walk in?
I just walked in like 2 seconds.
And what line was it that you didn't understand that I said?
Smell from the quantum realm.
Yeah. So I was saying that at this point I don't understand anything about smell, because if in fact this book is right and smell is partially answered by quantum, so who knows, right? I both smell it and I don't smell it at the same time. And all right, it is like there's the taste. It's, you know, the taste is the particle expression, and the doraita drabanan is the wave expression. So maybe the smell actually changes. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah, holy oath. But because I don't know what I'm talking about, my tendency is to go more in the way I suggested it to Eitan, which is that you could justify it much more simply by conceptualizing the chashidat chachamim as a doraita pairing. Because then, even though I'm not supposed to be together, the fact that I taste one thing as an aftertaste, I taste the matzah, I'm in the maror, or vice versa, that's not going to be a problem, because God himself wanted that residual taste. Because otherwise I'm going to have to start getting to, I can taste the rightness, and then I'm already in. Correct. Correct. This would not be Hillel. This would be the Chachamim. Correct. This would be distinct from Hillel. That's the rough point, that the Chachamim might also conceive of Matzah and Maror as paired, but not synthesized. Paired. And that, but as long as it's connected in that way, that, right, the way the Rav has it, they both agree that you have to be Sarifit. They argue whether it's at once or Bezachar Zeh, but the way I would say it in English is it one unit or is it paired foods? But either way, the second you predicate, the second you assume that on the d'oraita level, the tastes are supposed to be together, whether or not at the same time or in sequence, you could solve the Rashbam's problem, because you could say only once it wasn't God doing the pairing, right? Like you can imagine, right? You're at a 3 Michelin-star restaurant, so if the chef sets up the pairings of the wine and the palate cleanser and the side dish and whatever, so then you get the full experience. But you can imagine that same chef being very angry if somebody else came in and suggested the proper pairings. You're ruining the taste that I created, that I cultivated, right? So that would be what a Rabbanan does. God would say, no, only when I pair it, someone else is doing it. No, this is not the meal I wanted you to have. Right, that would be what would be going on.
Get your appetite up for eating.
Yeah, right. Well, obviously, we can connect this back to Maror. Is it meant to be an appetizer? Is it meant to be a palate cleanser? Is it meant to be whatever? Appetizer increaser? Whatever. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we got through 3 words. Wonderful. So the Rashbam continues. Korchan bevat achat. And now you get, so Rashbam says, what do you wrap? Pesach Matzah Maror. That in the time of the Mikdash, Hillel wraps all three.
Okay.
All three. Which is what we thought was reasonable if you knew Chumash. Correct? So Rashbam says it. Oh, fine. Call Echad Difnei Atzmo. Midelo div yochlu va'ana yodana da Pesach pie. Since it doesn't say eat it, and I know that we're talking about the Pesach, That's how I know you can eat it separately. Matkivla Ravashi. Umiyu Cholkin Alav Chaveirav Kirabi Yochanan. Aval Mehacha Lo Shamina. What does that mean? That his friends argue on him like Rabbi Yochanan, but from here you didn't know that.
No,
but mehacha lo shamina. From here you can't derive it from this. It's true. So that's not what that means. Now this is the key line. Rashbam says, why does this braita not prove it? What does he say? The Rabbanan of the braita agree to Hillel that you can sandwich it. But Rabbi Yochanan says that he disagrees with the Rabbanan entirely, holds you can't. So the Rashbam thinks, how many shittot are there in the Gemara? Three. There's the first position that we mentioned in the Gemara, that you cannot sandwich them. There's Hillel that you must, probably must, for the Rashbam must. And the Rabbanan Debraita, he says, Shapir Avdi, which is either you should or there's no reason not to, right? Shapir is it's fine or better, right? Right, but it's a contrast. So you either can or there's a value to it. Now again, according to the Rav's argument, this makes a lot of sense. Because according to the Rav, if everybody holds that Maror and Masa are paired, and the only question is how tightly are they paired, correct, and it's not crazy to say that you could or you don't have to, but because they're not arguing about whether these are two completely different mitzvot or one synthesized mitzvah, they all agree that they're synthesized. The question is, are they synthesized into a single unit, or is it a pairing and not a sandwich? But if that's the case, you could understand why you could say, okay, but you could do it either way, because they're all trying to somehow... Right, it's like we all agree that a s'more is a graham cracker and chocolate and marshmallows, but you can either be old-fashioned about it and have a proper s'more, or you could be all fancy and snooty about it and have a deconstructed s'more. I discovered this when I was in Toronto. We ran a pop-up restaurant on halachi, on like Torah themes, and spoke about each one. And the chef was very into deconstructed things. So the dessert is basically you take a classic synthesis and you deconstruct it. So if you have a deconstructed apple pie, it'll be like clumps of apple with like crumb on top. So like, look, it is with vanilla ice cream on the side. Look, it is all the elements of a, but it's deconstructed. So you could argue, okay, that's an apple pie, and that's a deconstructed apple pie. That's a s'more, and that's a deconstructed s'more. And that's a matzo maror sandwich, and that's a deconstructed matzo maror sandwich. The gamze, the gamze. You know, it works. You could understand that. It's weird, but you could do it.
Okay.
So according to... So according to the Rashbam, what we learn is that there's three shitot. So again, let's go through what we learned from the Rashbam. It's three shitot. Can't, must, can. Bittul for him is taste. The ideal sandwich is Pesach Matzamara, not Matzamara, but Pesach Matzamara. And we suggested that maybe what holds together all of his shitot is a version of the Rav, which is that everybody agrees that Matzah and Maror and Pesach are supposed to be, that they're related mitzvot, and the question is it better to pair them? Is it better to eat them as a sandwich? Is it better to eat it as a deconstructed, correct sandwich or a deconstructed, right? Korach sandwich, but they all, and that would justify why, even though it's about ta'am, you could still say that when they're all d'oraita, and therefore God, the chef of this meal, suggests that you pair it, the tastes are not going to be mavatel each other. Yes, and that also is machadesh matzah the same. Very good. Then Rashbam continues, "Mevarech hamatzah l'chuda." You make the bracha. Matzah zichron mikdash kelel. Kemo shayo tehilo bezmandre mikdash kayam shayo chlenetek stochem. Now this is when you have to remember that part of the problem is. Remember, I said what is in the sandwich. So Rashbam holds it Pesach matzah maror. As we'll see, the Rambam thinks it matzah maror. But that is a huge nafkamina for what type of zecher you think it is. Because if you think the original sandwich was Pesach Matzah Maror, then this zecher is, it's just a zecher. It's a mere commemoration because the Pesach is missing. But what if you hold that the sandwich from the time of the Mikdash was Matzah Maror alone? Then which type of zecher is this? It's a recreation of that which I did it in the time of the Mikdash. That's a very different type of a Zecher. So the question of what you think the sandwich was in the time of the Mikdash will affect what you think the Zecher looks like, and then might affect the way you think about it conceptually. Okay? So now we've learned through the Sugya and answered those questions according to Rashbam. What we still need to do is do it according to Tosfot, Rambam. I have mercy on you, and I'm not going to make you. I suggest, if you have time, to read the Mohammed and the Balamor. But fundamentally, the Balamor and the Mohammed line up with Rashbam and Tosfot, even though they have slightly different arguments and the like, but the fundamental arguments are the same. I do think we can finish this in one more shir. I don't think that's a problem. We've done the Gemara, we've done the Rashbam. Yes, I know. That's why we're tight, but that's fine. It's fine. I mean, we're fine. Like, it's not like we're not fine.